everyone, and welcome to Paint It Black Podcast. My name is Pete Berg, and I am currently thrown off by how much I love that song. We are starting off our summer spoilers this year, where we ruin all the movies coming out that you want to see. I'm joined here by Brian Katz.
Hey, what's going on?
Justin Herman.
Yep.
I got to say, that was the most unorganic, like, hey, what's going on?
We've been recording all day, dude.
I know.
I'm tired.
We're going to be honest with you. We did record this about a month ago. We lost it. And this is realistically the start of our summer spoilers, but we're going to start putting them out all now. We have about four of them ready to go.
They're all banked. And we're going back to the beginning to remind you of what really kicked off this summer, a little Iron Man 3.
Huge movie. Great movie.
Great movie. I love this one. I don't know how you guys felt, but I really enjoyed this.
All I know is if we're giving away spoilers now, fuck you, because you should have seen it by now.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
You've literally had like 25 days.
Yeah. You had a month. And if you haven't seen the movie and you want to see it, shut us off. If you don't, if you haven't seen it and you don't care to, listen anyway, because then you could hang with people and talk about it.
Yeah.
Or if you've seen it and you just want to hear a bunch of jackasses yammer on about it, that we're your guys.
Yeah, man, we are your guide for the whole summer right now.
Yeah. So, Iron Man 3, let's get into it. I love this movie.
From start to finish, man, it was funny. It was had action. The special effects, the sound was great. Well, our boy Justin over here doesn't let us even see a movie that doesn't have great sound in seats.
If you're going to a movie with Justin Herman, be prepared. You're getting IMAX. You're getting 3D.
Yeah.
You're getting seats that spray you with water and hit you with sound and jostle you around. This, whatever they got that this guy could buy, he's going to.
This wasn't actually IMAX. This was the race car, crazy sound, good video, not IMAX video.
Yo, it was funny. For the last movie we just saw, I handed Justin $10. Like, yeah, just give me a ticket. He's like, $10, motherfucker? What are you talking about? It's like, how much is a movie you're getting a ticket for? He's like, it's like $17.
Yeah, but we didn't need to see that piece of shit. Anything special?
You know, I'm rewinding back. We did see this in IMAX.
I believe
we see our Star Trek and the crazy audio thing.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
Sorry. Go back.
So what we're going to do, we're going to jump right in. We're going to tell you the plot synopsis, and then we're going to discuss for a little bit. So whenever you guys are ready, let's jump right in.
Go for it.
Let's jump right in.
Robert Downey's the shit.
So. All right. Movie cues starts off. Before the Marvel logo even starts flipping past the pages, we see the Iron Man suits in the vault starting to blow up.
See, I actually like the fact that usually Marvel does this little deal and then start right off the bat.
Got me right from the get-go. And I'm in, I'm a fan, and I'm enjoying it. Starts with a little Tony Stark voiceover, which we have not seen before. No voiceover in any of the prior ones. But this one is actually explained who he's talking to, not until the post-credit sequence. So, all right. I lost my place. Okay.
You know what's funny? I didn't even realize that in the end that that's what the voiceover was for.
Oh, see? Put it together.
Until you just put it together. All
right. Movie jumps to a flashback to 1999. Y2K itself, the New Year's Eve party where a younger Tony Stark.
He's full on like Tony Stark.
Full
that.
On party mode.
Before he's Iron Man.
He meets a young, pretty lady named Maya Hansen.
Was anyone else confused and thought she was Gwyneth Paltrow but younger?
No.
I really
no,
did she, at that moment. I was like, it can't be Gwyneth
she
Paltrow.
She had black hair and I found her more attractive.
But I thought they were like rewinding Gwyneth Paltrow 20 years back. I don't know.
No, she wasn't like some dumbass Pepper Potts.
So he meets young Maya Hansen, who is a scientist working on the Extremis, which is essentially a, I guess you could call it a virus of sorts, some sort of nanotechnology that rebuilds broken things. So those with limbs removed, those a plant that he snaps a branch off, you see it start to rebuild, and he's interested in the technology.
Someone called a lizard because that's much better.
Yeah, way better than oh, you mean it regenerates and doesn't turn into a freaky Hulk ripoff? Cool.
Same world too. We're still Marvel.
So Tony's interested in the tech, but he's more interested in that ass. So he goes, they bang.
Well, in the elevator.
Oh, first, they meet up with a disabled scientist, Mr. Aldrich Killian, who is
Guy Pearce,
a handsome dude disguised as an ugly dude.
Gorgeous dude. Basically, he's like that chick in those like teen movies that like take the glasses off.
Yeah.
She's like, all that.
Yeah, she's all that.
He's got long hair. He's got glasses. He's got a gimpy leg and a cane.
And a Kirsten Dunst tooth.
Why not? And he's like fanning over Tony. Now, any good comic fan worth their salt will know right off the bat. I'm Aldrich Killian. I founded Advanced Idea Mechanics. Any comic fan will go, oh, AIM. Okay, we got our villain here. We got a villain here. because we know the Mandarin's coming. But Stark goes, yeah, yeah, I'll meet you on the roof later tonight, and we'll talk. Stark never shows. Poor Aldrich, humiliated, standing there alone.
Gorgeous as hell.
Gorgeous hair flowing in the wind, like some sort of nerd god. Cut to a few years later. Tony's suffering a little bit after the events of the Avengers.
See, I like the fact that it's a continuous world where they acknowledge the fact it wasn't necessarily an Iron Man movie, but they acknowledge the fact that in the Avengers he had problems going through that little wormhole and coming back.
I mean, he clearly didn't have problems when he did it.
No, but he's got a little PTSD after the whole thing. Because after all, he did fly a nuke into an alternate dimension, which he then passed out from lack of oxygen, plummeted through space and time, back to New York, only to be captured by a giant green rage machine. To be awoken by it screaming at him.
Hulk smash.
He should have contacted J.J. Abrams and got the teleport.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that shit could teleport you from anywhere. Only if you're Benedict Cumberbatch.
Great name.
That's the best.
That's not even the name of the villain.
Best name, Aldrich Killian from Iron Man. Benedict Cumberbatch. From
How about Benedict Cumberbatch is...
Aldrich Killian.
Fantastic name movie. But yeah, man, right off the bat, Iron Man, you know that he's literally almost like kind of an Avengers sequel as one.
They painted the picture, and they kind of give you a sense of where they are in the world of Marvel.
I love the fact that finally, as nerds, we get a continuity in movies like at this point.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
It was pretty awesome when they came out with the idea of what Phase 2 would be. I don't know if you heard about like the World War Hulk, stuff.
And then
it made me actually Planet read Hulk. Into figuring out what Planet Hulk was or World, because I was that excited when I saw this like idea. Well, I mean, Wikipedia.
May I make a recommendation? They have an anime movie, a Planet Hulk.
I could do that.
Worth a watch, and that'll give you a little setup. That's if they decide to do that.
Yeah, and that was all apparently fake. But anyway,
let's get back to the flick here. So we cut to Tony modern day. He's having panic attacks, anxiety attacks. He's a little frazzled from the whole thing.
Yeah, tough world. He's banging Gwyneth Paltrow. And
I know. Things are bad. And her awesome stomach. But
she is in fucking great shape for like a 43-year-old woman.
Who has kids. Good for her. I never liked her, but her running around in yoga pants and a sports bra after the movie, not complaining.
Nah, very good looking.
So... how has he been spending his time? We know he hasn't been sleeping, and we know he's building suits like a maniac.
He's been, basically since the Avengers ended, he's just been building suits.
By the end of the second movie, I believe we're on the Mark IV, maybe the Mark VI.
Well, we did see the Hulkbuster in there.
Well, I'm getting to it. By this one, in the beginning of the movie, he goes, yeah, I'm on Mark 45. So we know he's been building. That's how he's spending his time. He's building, and he's currently working on a kind of rinky-dink suit of armor that can fly to him from any location if he summons it with his brain. Remember, he injects himself with a little something.
He has a little with his hands.
Yeah. And they all go flying at him, knocking him around. It's kind of fun to watch.
It's a huge like gimmick through the whole flick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, elsewhere in the world, there's an evil presence of the Mandarin, who's portrayed kind of like a quasi-Bin Laden character.
It is 100% Osama Bin Laden. He's
100%.
Like,
and I loved his voice because it was perfect.
He talked like this. You can't avoid the Mandarin.
I know. I felt the little Joker in it almost.
Like, I consider myself a teacher.
I feel like everyone's trying to get this over-exaggerated villain voice because Joker was so good.
Yeah. I noticed that. You notice that some of the greater comic book villain characters, Joker, Bane, very distinct.
Yeah, Bane
voices.
Did the same thing in Batman. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Distinct, very different and unique. I felt he was going for that, but I liked it because it was an accent you couldn't quite... Same reason I like Bane.
I think all the...
You couldn't quite place that accent. You couldn't quite give him a country of origin.
You can't be a good comic book movie villain at this point if you don't give a memorable voice.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Joker, Bane, and that, even though he, at the end, it's a little different than what you thought, but the Mandarin had a great voice.
And it leads me to a lot of my free time where I just talk in those voices.
Mr.
President.
Not to get too much of the Batman thing, but Bane, like, I had to watch subtitles of that movie when I got home to figure out what the hell he was saying.
It would be bad for you.
Yeah, it's all going to burn.
You went from the Joker, who was very slow and methodical, to Bane. Basically, here's how I do Bane. You start with a Sean Connery, and you get something caught in your throat.
There it is.
And then the Mandarin is like, I consider myself a teacher. Lots of low growls. And it's a prerequisite nowadays. And I fell in love with this villain right off
the bat. Oh, he was intimidating right off the bat.
They got rid of the magic rings. Although they kept zooming up to his hands to show he's wearing rings.
Well, the true comic book fans probably thought that was going to come into play at one point.
Are the rings going to be a thing? What they did with them is way more interesting, and we'll get to it. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty much unleashing a string of terrorist bombings all throughout the country. We know that from news reports and so on. And we'll cut forward to present day at the Stark Tower, where Pepper Potts is handling the day-to-day operations, and Happy Hogan, former director John Favreau, is head of security.
I liked how they went back in time initially with him, too, and they show, like, in the 90s, he was, like, a big deal for Tony Stark.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny. It's how the hell did John Favreau become that character? He directed the first incompetent one. I know, but that character, in the movie, I'm saying, that incompetence, how did he become the head of, not the head of security, but the personal bodyguard to a multi-billionaire?
He's Tony's friend. He's Tony's friend. All right,
so he starts off as his friend.
I do enjoy in the flashback that he looked like Vincent Vega. Like, he had the Travolta long black hair.
I didn't even notice that. That's right.
He was total bite off of Pulp Fiction. So he's head of security, and who shows up to Stark Tower to kind of sell his wares and woo Pepper Potts is Aldrich Killian.
Gorgeous.
Who is now a handsome motherfucker.
Legit gorgeous.
Out of nowhere. He's all smooth, jacked, walking properly, looking all right. Maybe a little too much plastic surgery. May have had a nose job, hard to tell.
Yeah, he cut that hair off and just has great locks.
It's like, put the hair down, take off the glasses. Gorgeous. So he starts putting the moves on her, showing her his gigantic brain.
But that shit was pretty cool.
That was cool. Little
how they fucking zoomed in on everything and showed how the brain works.
That shit looked like a ride at Epcot Center, dude.
Iron Man kind of brought that in at first, because remember how he does the 3D in the first one and the second one, where he creates like all these environments and everything with his hands.
Yeah, they do it. Yeah, he does it.
That was that to a whole new. Yeah, he does it again. It was that to a
this
whole new.
This was showing
level,
the synapses firing.
It's pretty cool, I thought.
Now, Happy doesn't like this. He's kind of holding up the iPad, trying to show Tony. Can't get it the right way.
He's like, Tony, you're so money, you don't even know it.
Exactly. Tony's too preoccupied. And I did like the touch that when he's talking to Tony, Tony's down in a wine cellar. And they never touch on Tony Stark's alcohol problem, which is a major part of the comic book.
He's an alcoholic in the comic.
He's a fucking deadly alcoholic. Yeah. Demon in a bottle, one of the best storylines out there.
I mean, it's Robert Downey.
So they kinda, they never touch on it in the movies, but the fact that he's in a wine cellar during that conversation led my nerd brain to go, all right, he's down there to get sloshed.
You think that they were actually going to bring that up?
I think it was a subtle way of doing it.
His whole attitude seems like a drunk.
They'll never do that because Robert Downey Jr. in real life is a fucking addict.
Yeah.
And they don't want the
in
comparison.
In the second movie, they do show him wasted.
Yeah, but that's like a one-time thing. They don't want to have it like an ongoing problem because the comparison to actual Robert Downey.
Yeah, they want him to be more of in this series a party boy kind of guy.
Yeah, like he's just a playboy, not a fucking alcoholic drug addict. Yeah.
So Happy Hogan doesn't like Aldrich Killian putting the moves on Pepper. And
dude, can I just take a timeout? I really think that Stan Lee really just like was ping ponging ideas like Pepper Potts, Happy Hogan, whatever. It doesn't matter.
He explains it in any interview you hear of him. He likes alliteration because it sticks in your head. Bruce Banner, Peter Parker.
That's true.
Yeah. That is true. I'm sorry, Stan. You are correct. These are names you will remember.
That's kind of his thing. He goes with it. So Pepper Potts, easy to make that leap. So he doesn't like Pepper being all cozy with this guy. He especially doesn't like Eric Saven, his bodyguard, who's kind of slinking around the lobby there.
He's a good bad guy.
That dude's awesome in everything he does.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Pacific.
He was also in, like, there's a show, The Rubicon, where nobody watched it.
Rubicon from AMC.
Yeah, that show was awesome. But, yeah.
But yeah, I thought he was one of the stronger, if not small characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really solid part of the movie. He really had a lot of personality in a small character. So, all right, we're getting nowhere. Let's get back into it. So Happy decides to go after this guy, start following him, seeing what he's up to. Meanwhile, Tony is buying 20-foot-tall bunny rabbits for Pepper Potts to kind of make her happy for the fact that he's been kind of reclusive and weird. Pepper shows up to the house. There's Tony in the Iron Man armor, there to be friendly and, like, welcome her home. Turns out Tony's not even in the armor. He's remote controlling it while he works on other shit. Very Dr. Manhattan.
I would have liked to seen how that went
right
down.
Out of the Watchmen, actually. Yeah.
I wonder what kind of Iron Man powers was about to come out to, like, make Pepper Potts be all happy. Like, you know.
He's got a vibrating dick piece in
Anatomically correct.
I would have loved to have seen, like, oh, don't wait, baby. Like, just you wait, baby. And then, like, the next scene is, like, the Iron Man outfit. Like, I'm sorry, it doesn't happen in most of these outfits.
But, like, my hydraulic fluid's really low.
It's like, I ran out of juice a little bit. If you make me a sandwich and run my back.
Maybe had too can... much oil.
I need a little grease for the joints. That's all it is. That's all it is. I'm a young suit of armor, man. But this is the dinky armor. Keep that in mind, too. This isn't the good armor. This isn't, like, the Mark II. This is, like, the Mark 17 with its fucking faults. So Happy's after this guy, and he notices what seems to be some sort of drug trade going on between Eric Saban, the henchman, and a former military man, in which he hands him off what looks like a, not a syringe, but some sort of injection
device.
It's
definitely like something to inject yourself with.
So this dude injects himself with whatever it is. You can see he's sweating. He's going through some sort of withdrawal, some sort of problem. And when Happy goes to confront them, he confronts Saban. Dude blows up.
You know?
Fucks up Happy's world.
I just realized the plot flow on that, right? So these guys were all, that guy, the way they linked them later on is that he was a part of some military operation, right? So that means he took the extremist thing before. Oh, they gave an extra dose was the point?
If you overdo it.
So this was an intentional kill
him. Exactly. They gave him too much to give him the whole blow-ups.
Gotcha. So he was taking it before then, but now they gave him the crazy amount.
Right.
Gotcha.
So now Happy's fucked. He's all banged up, ruined. He's in the hospital. Points to the shadow on the wall and everything. And Tony's pissed. And he's frazzled and he's weird. And he's walking out the hospital. The press is pretty much ambushing him. Your thoughts. And he calls out the Mandarin face to face.
It's like the I am Iron Man moment. It's like, come at me, bro.
Yeah. Oh, that's the speech. Come at me, bro.
But I loved how, like, after he did that, he's in his house and in his Iron Man suit. He's like, Pepper, you got to get out of here. I just called out the Mandarin. Like, it's for real.
What I liked even more was when he's calling him out, he's like, here's my address. Come get me. I thought that was so badass. So now we're back at the house. We got a 20-foot bunny in the room. He's in his Iron Man suit. Pepper's there. Who shows up? Maya Henson, the chick from the beginning.
Looking fine.
Some sort of warning. She's a little vague on what it is, but apparently she has some information to get them out of there. Before they have the opportunity to give a proper warning, helicopters outside Tony's establishment blowing up the fucking cliff face, taking out the house. Cool action scene. Probably one of the first big action scenes of the flick where, like, the house is collapsing. Tony can't get a suit of armor for the life of him.
He uses it to save Pepper.
Yeah. Pepper ends up in the suit, flying off. Right?
One of the cool things about the Mach 7, the M17, is that he could throw it on anybody.
Well, I think it's 17. Don't quote us on that. But
what? The suit that he's messing with?
Oh, wasn't multiples? It was just that one that he could throw on other people?
That was the one that can remote fly.
That particular one had that ability to just jump on anybody.
Somebody that can remote fly. Well,
attach themselves.
Okay. Like the other suits would only attach to Tony. That one he was dicking with could attach to anybody.
Here was my problem.
Warhammer get... Oh, later
War
on,
Machine?
Didn't War Machine.
No, it wasn't he Patriot, dude? Like,
he was Iron Patriot.
Iron Patriot.
Formerly War Machine.
Yeah.
The one thing I had an issue with here was after you watch towards the end of the movie, Tony unleashes all the armors he's got in storage. I believe he calls it like Operation Family Reunion or something.
Yeah.
He had all these armors. He's getting shot at by fucking helicopters. I'll take the Hulkbuster. Like, that would have done the job, right?
I don't know. Maybe they weren't ready yet, but then
were all there.
And the whole thing blew up, so it's like...
Maybe it was an overlook where only if he called Operation Family Reunion could he get one suit.
So part I missed, going back a little bit, is after Happy gets blowed up, Tony starts doing a little homework, and he starts finding sources of all the different explosions and bombings throughout the country, and he finds one in, I believe it's Kentucky.
Tennessee.
I always say Kentucky.
It's Tennessee.
Always mean Tennessee.
Same thing.
So he programs Tennessee into the armor to eventually take a flight plan there, and that's when the Mandarin attacks, blows up his shit. And as Tony is drowning underwater, he manages to barely escape by shooting off his Iron Man gauntlet, which flies back, unties him from all the debris that's got him tangled up there.
The Stark Tower got attacked by the helicopters from the dude from Pacific. What was his name again?
Oh, Eric Saban.
Eric Saban. He attacked him, and Iron Man took out two of the helicopters. The third one took his mansion, and dipped it into the fucking sea.
Yeah.
And that landed on top of him.
And he got covered in wires.
Yeah. And then that's how he's like, he threw off his little gauntlet, and that helped his ass out. And then it fucking launch padded his ass. to fucking
kind of autopiloted, yeah. Shot him off to the destination.
I'm going to say it launched Pad McQuacked his ass to fucking Tennessee.
Good pull. I like that.
Because it crashed and landed his motherfucker.
He got launch padded all the way across the country. Yeah. To, where is it again? Tennessee.
Tennessee.
And I found out it snows in Tennessee. Apparently.
Okay. Oh yeah, apparently, it's mountainous. It's in the Appalachians.
And there's a shot that I enjoy. Tony waking up, dragging the armor behind him, kind of looks like a beaten man at that point.
Yeah.
Mandarin, meanwhile, keeps putting out the freaky videos, threatening the president.
I've defeated Mr. Stark.
Yeah. He's got a what is it? He's got some dude hostage. Right, some sort of government official hostage, and he will only let the guy go if the president calls him directly.
No, I think was it a government official, or was it just some people?
It was a random person. I thought it was some sort of. It didn't matter. I mean,
He has a hostage, and he's going to execute him live on TV
unless the president calls. Which the president does, and he shoots the guy anyway.
Promptly,
like real big fuck you. And so, now you're like, yes, fucking cool villain.
He's like, I just wanted to get your attention.
He's got that. Great draw. He's creepy. He's showing up in hoods places.
I really liked the voice he chose, Ben Kingsley chose for the Mandarin. It was fucking cool, man.
And we're not even getting to his best part yet.
Nah, I disagree.
The revealing.
Did you not like that part?
I mean, it's not that I didn't like it. It's just it killed what he could have been.
I know, but I'm okay. We'll get to that. We'll get to that when we get there. Now, here's the part of the movie that made me a little nervous but ended up paying dividends. So, Tony... back in, everyone thinks he's dead first. Now he's back in Tennessee. He holds up in a garage. And who does he meet there but a precocious 10-year-old?
And I saw, you know what it is? I saw Pete's face. He's like, I cannot believe this movie's going to do this to me.
Don't 2.5 cop me here.
Yeah.
Man.
He looked cop and a half, man. It was toting the line of like, this is going to suck to Pete.
Well, normally when you throw in like a kid sidekick, shit gets pretty bad pretty quick. They handled it well.
Kick ass.
That was no kid.
Little hit girl. Hit girl ain't fucking around. By the way, that's another movie we're going to do for fucking spoilers.
Kick ass too. We'll be doing that. But yeah.
You got a dog on your balls.
That is no kid. This was a kid. This was Harley, the 10-year-old, wise, cracking, snippy little sidekick. But they played it off because they had Tony be Tony.
Yeah.
And he never softened. When it came to this kid.
It was
best line in the movie. Favorite line in the movie. Where's your parents? Mom went to her shift. Dad went out for scratch-offs.
Never came back.
6 years ago. Well, dad's leave, kid. Don't be a pussy about it.
That shit happens.
Well, I want to take a quote from one of my favorite TV personalities. If your dad left you forever when he went to get a pack of cigarettes, think of all the secondhand smoke you missed.
Is this an American Dad thing?
No.
Okay.
It's a, oh my God. Can't think of the name of the show at this point. Blue Mountain State.
Okay. Blue Mountains. Because normally your references are completely tied within the Seth MacFarlane.
It makes sense that every time I come home and he's drunk, he's watching American Dad with Jill.
Yeah.
It's a hilarious show. Everyone check it out. New season on Netflix. Watch it. Love it.
All right. Well, back to the film.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up kind of teaming up with this kid. More like being bothered by this kid.
That is like Tony Stark's illegitimate child, though. Because he has just as many good little quips at him.
Why is that kid a little boy genius? Like, how is that possible?
He wasn't that much of a boy,
I forget the boy genius. He just had the good quips.
Yeah, he was quippy.
Yeah, but the kid was a mechanical genius, too. I don't remember what he developed. He had some things developed.
He developed a goddamn thing until Tony Stark came to his life.
He admired Tony Stark, and Tony was calling himself the engineer, or the mechanic, I forget which.
It was the engineer.
Engineer.
Yeah.
And kid pretty much joins Tony on his subsequent investigation as to what happened there, and they go visit the site of the bombing, which is pretty much, was it a church, a storefront? I couldn't
know. It was a building, but the shocking thing was that, like, okay, in this world, it's supposed to be a monument to the people who got killed, right? But you could literally see their shadows getting blasted, which Tony does count. He's like, 8? What about the guy who blew up?
What about the bomber?
Yeah.
And he notices there's one missing, and the kid gives the schlocky explanation. Mom says that the shadows are those that went to heaven, and the one that doesn't have a shadow went to hell.
And then Tony Stark probably replies with a nice little quip, being like, yeah, whatever, kid. Like,
that's stupid.
This is actually...
Seeing Tony dressed as a schlub in a flannel vest and hunting cap was funny.
Oh, it was awesome. I actually did enjoy the fact anyone who watches True Blood is the only unattractive person in the whole movie was the mom who's a wolf.
That's what she's from. I was trying to remember. My mom's like, she's from Justified.
She's like, oh, you want to find my child?
Owl Seed's mother-in-law, right?
Oh, dude.
She's an unpleasant woman. And we run into her now as Tony goes into a bar. But first, he's confronted by a pretty lady.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Ellen Brandt.
Mm. That's her name?
That's the character's name.
Yeah. All right.
Who is... kind of weird towards Tony, digging for a little info, maybe. Goes in there. He finds a True Blood mom in the bar who's giving him some info.
Well, hello, Tony. Yeah. How's it going, gorgeous?
Finds the... she gives him the file with her son's info, all the top secret information, and just as he's about to make his way out of there, Ellen Brandt and Eric Saven, the two henchmen to the Mandarin, attack.
See, I love... Eric Saban the whole time, because every time he did something foul, he'd just give like a nice little smirk and be like, come on, man.
Yeah, when Tony's running into the bar and Eric gets out of the car, he gives him a little wave, chucks his coffee over his shoulder. It was like the nicest little touches there.
And the funny thing is, I've never seen that guy as a villain and everything else. He's usually like a good guy.
Oh, he was
great. Yeah, I agree.
I'd say he was in a movie filled with villains.
Oh, yeah.
He holds his own.
I think he was probably the most, maybe besides the Mandarin's voice, he was probably the most memorable actual villain.
Well, yeah, okay.
Really, I
put that up there.
We didn't actually tell you what the Mandarin was about, but actual villains, I think he's the most memorable.
Well, we're actually about there. I mean, during about the same time in the flick, we see the Mandarin's car roll up to Aldrich Killian's really nice estate, which Killian keeps referring to him as the master's recording, and you see the Mandarin and people are taking off his cloak.
Well, right as that scene happened in Tennessee where he fights that chick and the guy, that's how he finds out the Mandarin's in Miami.
We're not there yet. We're getting there.
Oh,
we're
shit.
We're getting there. We haven't even got to the fight yet.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just pointing out, so we know Killian and the Mandarin are involved, but as far as we know, Killian calls him the master. We know that Mandarin's the man in charge here. Are we recording?
Are we recording?
Like, that's the last Mandarin line. Yeah. We get through the whole flick. I'm pretty sure everyone listening knows what the twist is, but I like to drag it out.
Oh, yes.
All right, so now we get to the fight. Man, Tony has given Harley a little gift, a little thing like, hey, you got bullies at school? Point this at them. And he hands him the thing. Fast forward to the fight now. Tony's getting rocked up. He can't summon his armor. The armor doesn't have enough power. He's getting his ass kicked.
He's fighting MacGyver style in a kitchen.
Yeah, he manages to blow up Ellen Brandt in a kitchen explosion.
Under Siege style, so remind me of like...
Very Under Siege.
Remember that where he turns the microwave
respect,
into the
respect
fucking
with Under Siege
Very much
reference.
So, dude. Good pull. Meanwhile, Saban's still after him, and he's a fucking asshole, and he's got the kid, right? And the kid manages to pull a little trigger on the anti-bullying device, which blinds Saban just long enough for Tony to whip out a little arm cannon that was hidden in his sleeve. Pretty much just a repulsor blaster that was hidden in his sleeve. Blows him away, saves the kid. Saban survives. I believe he drops a water tower on him, if I remember correctly.
Oh, dude. I don't remember that exact part.
We should actually... You
Whatever
know what
happened,
I
did, he got back up.
You know what I did not do? I did not explain their superpowers.
Their powers are that they don't fuck around.
The people who
they got
are,
lava powers.
Yeah, the people who have the extremis in them... heat up. They superheat, and they can burn through shit. They basically turn into molten people.
Oh, yeah.
And their limbs turn red, and at one point, one of the motherfuckers breathes fire.
Which has a comic book undertone to it, right? Wasn't that in the comic?
It's in Extremis, yes. They're on Netflix, by the way. You can watch the motion comic of Iron Man Extremis. That's if you ever want a little background to the movie of the source material, that's a good place to start.
I actually enjoy those motion comics. When I watch the Spartacus one, and it's like a cheap way to actually add a lot of story.
Exactly. No, they're cool. They're very cool. So, Stark wins the day. He fights off the villains, and he discovers that the location of the Mandarin is in Miami. And under the advisement of the precocious child, decides to build himself a kind of bootleg arsenal, including an electric oven mitt and a super soaker that does something.
See, that's actually when I went to the bathroom. I missed those little scenes.
Yo, it was awesome, though.
This was my favorite scene.
Oh, man.
He's not my favorite scene, but one of my favorite scenes, because we were seeing Tony Stark James Bond his way through a facility.
He's like, how far away is Miami from here? He's like, 13 hours. And he just starts driving over there.
Yeah. And the kid's like, we're connected. You have to bring me with you. You have to leave you here. You know why?
We're connected. He had their banter still continued right there, man. They had a great back and forth the whole flick.
So we got Tony. He's busting in, and this is one thing I like. Iron Man 3 is Tony Stark 1 to me because it's primarily Tony Stark centric movie.
He was barely Iron Man in the flick. He was almost always a Tony in the whole movie.
Beginning and end. That's about all you get of Iron Man, especially very end.
It's kind of similar. I was thinking about the villain-esque though, aspect of it. It's very similar. Well, we didn't get that yet. The first one, where like the villain wasn't
the guy villain you thought it was?
Most of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the first one, John Hurt. Or
Obadiah Stane was his friend for
a while. Yeah.
Well, alert comic fans know the name Obadiah Stane.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But comic fans...
And I kind of realized it during the movie, too. But.
Well, we're getting to this part, and I should say this, that comic fans know the name Mandarin as probably the premier villain of the Iron Man series. A number one character in that lore. But what we always forget is that even in comic books, Iron Man's kind of a joke. You don't put him on the same pedestal as you do a Magneto. You don't put him up there with the Joker. You don't put him up there with a Venom or a Green Goblin or a Kingpin.
I was reading an article about that, and they said pretty much he was middle of the pack.
Middle pack. Perfect C-list is
and,
what I was reading.
And the movie has turned Iron Man into like
A-list.
Well, what Iron Man did for Robert Downey Jr., Robert Downey Jr. did for Iron Man.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
They
brought him back.
They elevated each other.
So you got to take that into consideration when we get to the twist that we're about to hit. The Mandarin's not. I mean, some people may hold him in some sort of regard, but
no one ever held the Mandarin.
Big comic book dude. I don't give a fuck about the Mandarin. That's half the reason I was excited to see him in this movie is because the way they were portraying him was cooler than the comic book ever made.
The Mandarin's way down the ladder.
A dude with 10 magic rings. It was stupid.
Way down the ladder.
So Tony breaks into the facility. He's in the Mandarin's lair. He goes through the door. He finds the bed in which the Mandarin is sleeping. Pulls the sheet back, and who's there? Two dope naked chicks. And then who comes out? Your toilet flush. Who comes out of the bathroom? But the Mandarin speaking in a manner we have not heard him speak.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
I walked in from the bathroom like at that moment. I was kind of confused. I was like, wait.
I was sitting at my seat watching attentively, and I was kind of confused. I was like, are they just making the Mandarin a goofball?
Like, I thought
it was an acting or something. Like he was playing it off really well.
I thought at first that was like a double. I was like, okay, this isn't the real Mandarin. He got dicked. I was like, oh, my God. This is the Mandarin. It's a fucking a ploy.
Let's get into it, then. The Mandarin was not who he seemed to be. The Mandarin the whole time was a British actor named Trevor Slattery, who was falling on hard times. He's got a bit of a drinking problem.
An actor.
Here's my problem with this. We're in, like, 2013. I mean, we got video surveillance on everything. There's a major fucking terrorist out there.
Yeah.
Don't you think there's going to be somebody who's like, that dude is in this C-list movie I saw in Britain.
They explained it, though. Like, they explained. He's like, oh, yeah, I met this Killian guy. He get me plastic surgery and everything.
Damn it.
So they explained. They changed his face.
All right.
They're
doing a really good job of destroying
it. My favorite part of that whole sequence is when Tony Stark is questioning him, right? He's kind of listening to him, but he's really he's still looking at TV.
Is this guy for real?
No, he's looking at TV, and then in the TV, he's watching a football game, a soccer game. And
he's
they score a goal. He's like, goal! And then Tony Stark's like, what?
Ole, 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 ole.
Oh, I forgot he did the ole, ole. He did the ole, ole, ole's. It was so funny, man. And then Tony Stark's like, what? Like, seriously, guy?
Yeah. I honestly thought it could be an act at first. Like, I thought he was doing a really good job of acting.
We've been glossing over another important character in this, and that's Rhodey. That's the War Machine. That's the Iron Patriot.
Dude, shit name.
This dude, Iron Patriot.
Yeah, remember, it's like, terrible name.
It's rebranding. It's good.
No, terrible name. Sorry, dude.
So, Rhodey, who is now a pretty much government-sanctioned Iron Man, is flying around searching for the Mandarin. He doesn't know anything of what's going on. He thinks Tony Stark is dead.
He basically looks like Captain America in an Iron Man suit.
Which actually was the original creation of that character.
Oh, Tony Stark
in the comic
Iron Man.
He was actually, I believe it was Norman Osborn in the armor. At the time. It was during the Dark Avengers series.
Jesus.
Wolverine was his son, and it got weird. It's good. It's good. Venom is pretending to be Spider-Man.
So wait, what's Wolverine's real name?
Logan.
Oh, you talking Wolverine?
Yeah.
James Howlett?
That's his real name?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Did you see X-Men Origins Wolverine? Or read the comics?
I did watch
the movie. I thought it was Logan, to be honest with you.
It's Logan, but
see?
His actual
birth... I'm not the only one.
His birth name is James Howlett.
I watched the movie. I didn't realize that they gave
Don't
it.
Quiz me on this
no,
shit.
No, no. I was a curious question.
The whole time in the Wolverine movie, I was like, does Deadpool have all these powers?
But that's why...
I don't remember any of this.
That's why Sabretooth kept calling him Jimmy.
I do remember that.
I remember Liv Schreiber was a great Sabretooth.
We're not here to talk about the shittiest superhero movie ever.
I love Wolverine,
the
right.
Fucking garbage Deadpool. Oh, where was I? Killian.
He said, go, la, 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 ole, 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 ole.
Well, that actually comes a little bit later, because it turns out Killian has created the Mandarin as a scapegoat for his own terrorist activities. He is, in fact, the actual Mandarin. If you really think about
it. See, I enjoyed that instead of having, like, because the Mandarin, you said, was like a magical character.
Yeah, very magic-based.
Instead of that, I like the fact that they incorporated the Mandarin in as an awesome entity, and then they were like, they threw you a curveball. I'm like, oh, well, Mandarin is a joke. It's really just AIM and this other character.
So we got Rhodey. He's off chasing after the Mandarin in all the wrong places, Middle Eastern countries and what have you. We have Pepper, who's running around with what's-her-face. Trying to figure out what's going on. Maya Hansen, hot bitch from the beginning.
It's a hot little tag team.
When who busts into that room but Aldrich Killian subduing both of them, even though it turns out Maya is working for him.
Yes.
And he takes Pepper hostage. Now things are starting to unfold. We get what's going on here.
He injects her with the old AIM stuff.
Right.
The AIMs.
Extremis. AIM is the organization. Right. Advanced Idea Mechanics.
It's like Cobra and...
Now, in the comic books, I'm very grateful that they didn't keep the AIM uniform, which essentially looked like a gay beekeeper.
Like fucking, what was that
Scorpion
shit?
Or
Venture Brothers?
They had the big beekeeper hats.
Like the Venture Brothers?
Squared off beekeeper terrible. Hats with like a voice speaker in the front. Worse than the Venture Brothers. They
like
were just
the wasp or something?
They were just butterflies. These were
Monarch.
Kind of like X-File type shit or
They're
something.
They're in
like
hot this. Yellow suits. The AIM guys are the worst guys next to Hydra.
Are you saying that the Monarch makes an appearance in this?
I wish. You know, just once I'd like the Monarch to show up and be like, you dick! Brock Samson butts in, kicks Tony Stark's ass, I don't know.
I would definitely see a live action flick of that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But let's get back to the plot. Okay, so Pepper kidnapped. Rhodey is captured by the Mandarin, or Killian, or what have you, who is attempting to burn him out of the armor so he has a suit of armor of his own. Tony, now captured after his confrontation with Trevor, he gets caught and strapped up to a bed frame and is suspected. I guess they're going to kill him, which is one of the funnier parts of the movie as he's activating his remote control armor and it's not coming. And the two guys watching him are like, oh, yeah, sure. You're going to get us. Yeah. He's going, I got you in 3, 2, 1.
No. How far away is Tennessee from Miami?
So we, Rhodey.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. I mentioned that part. I was like, how far away is Tennessee from Miami? And then the one goon is just like, oh, it's about 865 miles. And the other goon looks at him. He's like, what? Like, I just know that.
Eventually, we cut back to Tennessee, and the armor is banging against Harley's garage door. And that's where it's been stuck. So he opens up the garage. Armor goes flying to him.
So that armor can fly 850 miles, but can't get through a fucking barn in Tennessee. Or
that's absolutely correct.
Though. Okay. Right.
It was chained up, man. Chained up.
You're absolutely right. Now, Rhodey is being burned out of the armor by Killian himself, who is superheating it using his magma power. And when he does eventually pop out of the armor, under his own accord, he's not tortured out of it, he comes out swinging. He puts up a good fight. I enjoyed that part. He takes out a few guys until Killian starts breathing fire at him, and he actually says out loud, like, you breathe fire?
I gotta admit, that's kind of unfair.
Now, at this point, we find out Pepper has been injected. We find out by a hologram by Killian that Pepper's been injected with the Extremis virus and is currently going through pretty much the process that will either give her powers or kill her. We don't know. It depends if you're strong enough.
You know, Pepper Potts, a name like that.
Pepper Potts is a strong name, like Bruce Banner.
Leonidas.
Okay. Eventually, the Iron Man armor does
Scott
reach Tony.
Summers.
I heard his name.
That's not a cool one, man.
No, not at all.
That's the lamest one.
Funny thing was, I was trying to think of another one.
Drag me
2 minutes.
Otto Octavius.
Speaking of just the movies in general, but like Who's that guy who played Scott Summers in the...
James Marsden.
James Marsden has his girlfriend stolen in almost every movie he's ever been in.
By a superhero, mostly.
Superman.
Yeah.
X-Men.
Yep. In Sex Drive, he turned out to be gay. Does that count?
No. What was that movie he was just in? The one with the wedding. It was a funeral. Sorry, funeral. Death at a Funeral.
Death at a Funeral, yeah.
Again, his girl's trying to get stolen.
Yeah.
He's just Mr. Still a girlfriend.
That's
all what right.
He does, man.
All right, so back to back, you know.
So Tony gets some armor back, mainly a glove and a boot, starts whipping around the room. He takes out the henchman. He reunites, with Rhodey, and the two devise a plan. Now they know the plan. They know that Killian's using the armor to infiltrate Air Force One to kidnap the President of the United States, and we know that they are working with somebody in the government, which it turns out is Vice President Evil Guy.
Oh, dude, he's Mr. Evil Guy in almost every movie that guy's ever been in. Yeah. Like, right when he jumped on the screen, I was like, that guy's a bad dude.
Yeah, and we know he's evil because we see he has a granddaughter who's an amputee. So he's doing it to get the cure, to help his granddaughter.
Oh, I didn't even realize it for that.
Yeah,
and but also, I knew it right away that he was evil.
Oh, yeah.
Because they showed it right. He's like, yeah, okay, I'll tell the president. And he hangs up the phone.
Well,
and
no, before he even
he
the
turns
phone.
To his little girl who has, like, a fucking half a leg.
Oh, before that, when somebody's on the phone, I'm like, this dude's totally in on it.
And, oh, yeah. And then you realize that he's in it. He's to save his granddaughter, and he will become the puppet president to Aldrich Killian. So now we launch our little motion into Air Force One, where the Iron Patriot, really Killian, is wandering about to, playing nice and everything. Now, is it Killian or is it Saban?
No, it's the other one.
It's Saban?
It's Saban, yeah.
I don't remember it.
Because yeah, that's where Saban catches it.
Yeah. So the Iron Man busts in there. Well, the suit anyway. Starts taking out. Good fight scene. And you realize that Iron Man really doesn't have shit on these guys. Because they just melt.
They're more powerful than he is.
Yeah. They melt right through the metal of his armor. But he does manage to take out Saban. But not before Saban pretty much tears Air Force One open. Kidnaps the president.
Well, which actually comes to one of the coolest scenes of the flick,
yeah.
Where there's about 18 people that fall out the plane.
It's like 14 people, and Stark checks with Jarvis. It's like, how many can we carry? Only six.
Yeah.
So he creates, essentially, a human barrel of monkeys game.
Barrel of monkeys, guys. Think barrel of monkeys.
And which is a great scene. He's whipping the people, and they're grabbing hands, and he slowly lowers them below into the water. I mean, that scene alone is
a cool scene.
worth a watch. And then what made me laugh so hard afterwards, he's like, all right, now to save the president. And he flies off, gets hit by a truck. You see the armor explode, like Randy Johnson hit that bird with a baseball.
He just goes
flying everywhere. You realize...
by the way, he was given the option, like the Batman and Robin option, like Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Do you save Nicole Kidman, or do you save Robin?
You save Nicole Kidman.
Well, he saves
Do you save Kirsten Dunst or the school, the kids in the...
save Spider-Man. It's a good reference.
You save the kids on the bus.
So, and just like in every movie, you're able to save both.
Well, he does because he's not actually in the armor. He's remote control.
This is a little more realistic, yeah.
This is the dinky-ass armor we've been talking about, but it managed to get the job done.
Well,
turns out he's with Rhodey on a boat headed to a shipyard where we know is the kind of headquarters of AIM, and Killian's got Pepper.
And here is your final battle right here.
Yeah, and they got the president in the Iron Patriot armor dangling above a pit of fire or something. I don't really remember exactly. So now we cue the big fight scene. And another funny part, they both run in with guns and they're taking dudes out. And Tony runs out of bullets. He turns to Rhodey and goes, I need another clip. And he goes, you can't. Why not? These clips are for my gun. They're not for your gun. They won't work with your gun. Tony's like, fine.
Isn't there like a universal device or something?
Meanwhile, Tony has summoned every armor from the vault to come flying in, and which they promptly do.
Operation Family Reunion.
40-something armors busted in, looking all awesome. For the comic fans, a lot of special treats in there for you.
The Hulkbuster being the biggest, I think.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, because that's the most memorable
and
one.
And that's the one that you may see later on in an Avengers or something. So they all bust in, and that's when Rhodey goes, give me an armor. He's like, I can't. They're all coded to me. Sorry, bro. Little exchange for his.
He'll be like 9mm rounds.
To kind of fast forward the action scene, because it's not worth really describing action scene. But Tony is jumping from armor to armor to armor, taking out bad guys left and right. taking out bad guys, kicking ass. You see a lot of Tony Stark doing a lot of cool, like, jumping from
thing
to thing.
Well, I thought the coolest part about it is that, like, for at one point, he was trying to get into an armor and kept getting knocked out of him, right? And then he was getting into armors and fighting, was it Killian?
Killian.
And Killian was defeating the armor, and then he would be jumping into a new one.
One after the other.
It wasn't just like, oh, Iron Man, obviously you're never going to beat him. It was like, he was defeating Iron Man, but yeah. Iron Man just happened to have like 1,000 suits.
Exactly. Now, during this fight, too, Tony manages to save the president. Or Rhodey saves the president, I believe.
Yeah, he saves the president.
And Tony manages to track down Pepper, who he saves. But in a freak accident involving a fight with Killian, she plummets to her death into a fiery vortex of explosion.
A waste of a six-pack.
Now, that's a good point.
Now, she was looking good.
Who in this room thought she was actually dead?
Mm. Nobody.
Mm. Nobody. Mm. But they tried to play it off pretty good.
It's kind of like in Star Trek, where I was hoping Kirk was dead.
You were hoping Kirk died?
I just wanted to
see. Oh, shit! Spoilers for Star Trek!
You know, there's no way they killed Pepper Potts.
Yeah. So as the fight progresses, you know, Tony, armor to armor, still fighting, cannot get a leg up on this guy. He's too good, too powerful.
Too gorgeous.
Too gorgeous. Too blonde and chiseled. Then comes Pepper Potts out of the wreckage. She's alive. She's full of extremists, and she's a badass now. And she really fucks that guy up. Kills him promptly.
See, that's the only part of the movie where I was like, come on, man. Like, let's have Iron Man beat the bad guy.
Iron Man always beats
the bad guy. But it kind of makes sense. I mean,
who cares about Pepper Potts?
Guy Pierce was a bitch. Just because he got some volcano shit. Another volcano.
Just because he got some volcano shit.
Before they fought, like that last fight before Pepper shows up, remember, he traps Killian in the armor and
that was awesome. He does the little trick, like we said in the beginning of the thing, where he throws the armor on Killian and then blows Killian up in it. And Killian's like, "You think, bitch, you think that gets Killian?
I am the Mandarin.
I am the Mandarin." And then all of a sudden, Pepper Potts shows up. It's like,
"Bitch,
Pepper Potts, bitch, slaps him up."
I wish he said that. Just flexes her abs, punches him a little bit.
Look how good I look, Pepper Potts, 45 years old,
bitch. Mother of Apple.
What if she was just like, Coldplay, and hit him? Like Mortal Kombat uppercutted him.
Everything is yellow.
yellow.
All right, and now we're done. It's Christmas. Everyone's happy. The president is safe.
Technically, this is like a Christmas flick.
It has all of Christmas movies.
The director, the guy who did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Shane apparently Black, all of his movies, he does Christmas related.
Well, this
things,
is my new favorite Christmas movie. Maybe
Die Hard. Best Christmas flick ever.
This is up there for me. I don't like Christmas movies. I like this movie. Now, for the end, which this is what I didn't like about the movie, is now you go back to the voiceover, and it's like, oh, we had Pepper cured. Like it was that easy.
Of course.
And he goes, I figured, well, she was getting fixed, I'd get fixed. She's and like, that whole driving plot device of the fucking shrapnel in his goddamn heart, and the fact that he has to plug in the arc reactor, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I just got it fixed. The whole second movie was him dying from
the computer. The computer's like, yeah, Pepper's cured, Tony's cured, Magic Johnson's cured, Lou Gehrig's cured. We cure everything. It don't matter.
Everybody's cured.
Everybody's going to get cured.
But like the whole driving point of the second movie was like he's being poisoned by the arc reactor and he's going to die. Who knew? He could wrap it up in the last 4 minutes of a movie just by throwing money at it.
Didn't have to join Avengers or nothing.
Good to know, right?
Well, I mean, that's what Magic Johnson thought.
Yeah, well,
just throw money at it.
He found the cure. And at the end, he throws the obsolete arc reactor into the sea. But he says, I will always be Iron Man.
I thought he said, I need you now, Goose, more than ever.
Now we'll smash cut to the post-credit sequence. We all sat through the credits.
The best post-credit sequence out of any Marvel movie so far.
I don't know.
I would want an extra scene.
Look,
or something.
When I went to see Iron Man 2, and then at the end you see Thor's hammer, and it wasn't like clear that they were making a Thor movie yet, I got a little chubby.
No, but come on. When you saw Bruce Banner as what's the actor's name again?
As
Mark Ruffalo.
Thank you. As Mark Ruffalo being like, yeah, I was told this whole time, and you realize that Tony Stark was the narrator of the whole movie.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, so you weren't listening, yeah. Bruce? All right. Oh, well, he's like, I'm not that kind of doctor.
But wasn't he talking into a camera at one point, though?
No.
Like, I thought he was.
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
So it was a recount of like his experience.
Yeah, I knew he was talking with the ad. I didn't realize though.
No, the whole movie is just him telling Bruce Banner this story. Yeah.
And Bruce Banner is passed out.
Sleeping through it.
Love that because I've enjoyed the camaraderie between the two characters throughout the Avengers.
It links the Avengers to Iron Man even more. And it's just so good that like I hope in the new Thor movie coming out this fall that when at the end of his movie, maybe you throw a little like maybe Iron Man or
Hulk
or Cap.
I just want to see him having a beer with Cap.
No, you know what I want? I want every movie to just have Bruce in it, like Banner.
How great would that be? And then make Avengers 2 more Hulk-centric.
Being that we wrapped up the movie now, we got to talk about what Marvel is saying about the next Avengers.
All right.
The
face. So here's what Marvel... Now, this is according to Latino Review, which is a very...
You say Latino Review?
Yes. Despite the name...
Sounds bootleg, dude.
Latino Review, credible.
The fact that you have never heard of this website and the fact that you're laughing at it just proves you know nothing. Because this site has broken more news stories in the geek world than any other site out there.
Right.
They are legit. And what this guy... from Latino Review said was phase two of the Marvel movies is going to be by the end of Avengers 2, the rest of the Avengers are going to be sick of the Hulk's bullshit and they're going to launch him into space.
Oh, that's not what I was getting into.
Oh, what did you hear?
I was getting to the fact that Marvel's cheap and isn't going to bring back any of the actors.
Oh, you're talking that. That I heard too. I heard that too. I hope not.
I heard they actually are. I thought that was proven to be wrong.
No, I heard that they all want the...
they're going
to
make a Planet Hulk? Marvel said...
Back and forth.
I heard Ruffalo wants to be Hulk, but they're like... So all the Hulk movies have been so terrible so far.
Let's start with one of these. We got like 5 minutes to talk about.
We've had three banners in the past 10 years.
But Ed Norton, every character... they want to place... They even said for the next Iron Man movie... You know, Robert Downey said he's done. He wants to go on to a new series.
Yep.
He doesn't care what it is. He just wants to create a new series.
Yeah. If they're smart, they never replace
They said, him. We don't care. Iron Man's a character. Yeah. We don't need Robert Downey.
But if the studios were smart, they would have said, one hangover's enough. And they didn't. And they went for the money.
Yeah.
And Marvel is going to single-handedly inflate the superhero bubble and then pop it if they go this route.
They're
going to shoot
themselves. How much money could the other characters cost? But they were saying, like, the first Avengers, like, $450 was the break-even point or something like that, or $475. Hmm. So that's a lot of money for a break-even point.
It
made $1 billion.
Out of that movie, like, Downey got paid, while Chris Evans, Liam Hemsworth.
They all want to renegotiate their contracts to be like Downey.
Whatever. Chris Hemsworth, they all were
got
like,
almost nothing.
Got paid what they got paid, and they got a little bit of residual.
So, but apparently Marvel's cheap and doesn't want to pay anybody. Yeah. They'll just replace them.
Downey gets paid such a crazy fee.
Downey got $55 million. Downey gets like 20% of the gross or something
like that. Dude, Downey gets paid ridiculous. They can't be like, all the Avengers get paid what Downey gets paid.
Iron Man 3 is already the biggest movie of the year financially.
I made $500 million
without Robert Downey.
This movie stepped on Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, absolutely. Star Trek. We went to
Star Trek Into Darkness.
How many people were there? How many people at the theater when we went?
Maybe 17.
Yeah,
we had hard times getting seats for Iron Man. Not so much for.
That was a Friday night too when we went.
You look at Star Trek. It cost $200 million to make. The movie grossed in its opening weekend $198 million.
That's worldwide.
And was considered a failure
worldwide. Worldwide opening weekend, Iron Man made $500 million.
Yeah, it was insane.
$500 million.
Yeah.
I mean,
Marvel is cheap, but they'd be stupid not to bring these.
I mean, Robert Downey is that movie. You can't.
Robert Downey's the Avengers. Robert Downey's the whole fucking.
You know, but universe. I like Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. Hulk was one of the best characters he's been.
But how many times they have to cast the Hulk before they finally found the guy?
Okay, I agree with that.
And I'd say more Thor's than find the guy, they found the script. Thor isn't.
He's pretty replaceable.
Gonna find the giant jacked up blonde dude.
Triple H.
Not that hard. I mean,
Triple H. Triple H he'd be actually more crazy.
Scarlett Johansson, she's smoking hot, but she's kind of replaceable.
Unneeded
character, by the way.
She wasn't even in the next one, no one even knows.
The Rainer dude from the Bourne series, he's replaceable.
Rainer,
but I don't want to see these people replaced anyway.
No, but I think they're going to add in new Avengers. I think that's how it's going to work. Whedon has already said two characters that he wants in the next one.
Ant-Man?
No, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. And it's led to...
I love Quicksilver. He's awesome.
It's led to a little bit of a legal problem because they want...
They don't have the rights or something?
Well, technically Fox owns the rights to all mutants. And they're Magneto's children. And they want them for Days of Future Past.
They're going to make a Days of Future Past movie?
They're making it.
Oh, wait. By the way, how do we have to get into the fact that there's an Avengers TV series for 2 seconds? I mean, right?
S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Looks good.
It has the guy who died in the movie.
Coulson. Yeah. It makes it, is it going to be a throwback or is it going to be like...
They haven't announced, but I think it's going to be a continuing adventure. I think they're going to find a way to bring him back.
Do you think they're going to reveal in the TV show maybe that Coulson faked his death to unite the Avengers?
Now we that's a good idea.
We talked about this on the last Paint It Black podcast, but I mean, I don't know when this is going up. But one of the past Paint It Blacks, we talked about this, that... The theories are either he's going to have faked his death in order to unite the Avengers in the first movie, which makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Some people are saying he might be a life model decoy, which is basically a robot, an android. Others are saying...
He seemed pretty un-badass for someone who was so confident he was badass.
Yeah. It's Mystique.
Yeah, others are saying shapeshifter. I personally think that he faked his death. But he got stabbed through the chest by Loki Pokey Stick. So he could be dead. I mean...
I don't
one.
Think so.
It's a tough one. I'm going to watch the show. I'm going to watch the maybe shit.
Is it a CW show?
Fox.
Is M. Night Shyamalan directing it? Or
no.
Okay, so.
At the end, it wouldn't even be the Marvel Universe. It'd be DC Universe. It's not
like they all wake up from a nuke and it's going to be like, Batman! Spawn!
Lobo!
Like just obscure comic characters. Wildcats!
Half the characters from Injustice.
That's your statement.
This is what Dark Horse characters. Aliens vs. Predator.
I really did enjoy the actual flick, though. I'm going to give it a door amount. It's going to be an 8. No, I don't want to blow my load. An 8. 8
out
doors.
Of 10. 8 out of 10. Justin, your rating.
8.75. I want to say in a half.
Woo!
But you know what? I gave The Hangover 7.5, so I can't just give it.
All willy nilly with these doors.
Now, The Hangover episode will air soon. Spoilers on the spoilers. I'm going to give this one a solid 8.5.
So we agree then.
I'm with you 100%, Brian.
So I gave it 8. You gave it more than me.
I gave it 8.5. Not quite as much as Justin.
Yeah, Robert Downey was awesome.
Yeah, we're on the same area right here. It's between 8 and 9.
I'll give it a solid 8. There were one or two parts that made me a little bit crazy just as a geek. But I think what they did with the Mandarin.
I didn't even get into how much I hated the thing with the Mandarin.
Let's talk that real quick before we wrap this up. Why did you hate that?
I mean, I like the idea it was a twist. And it was a twist I never would have expected.
Yeah.
But I really wanted that villain. I really wanted,
I felt the way initially, but when I first saw that going on, I was going, don't do this.
It wasn't a don't do this. It was just, I was just disappointed because it deprived, like, having that villain. Like, it just made it so that villain was a great character,
yeah.
But he wasn't a great villain.
But I think they took a risk. They did something that we haven't seen before, and they pulled it off.
And you gotta appreciate it. 100%. Yeah,
that's true. And as a result, Trevor Slattery is probably my favorite character in this fucking movie.
It was great. Ben Kingsley, like, honestly deserves.
He steals the movie in the few scenes he's in.
He's fucking
when
real
funny.
When
he's a villain, he's a fucking villain. And when he's Trevor, he's the funniest goddamn character.
And that coming out of Ben Kingsley, which is like the furthest thing I could ever expect.
You would never see it coming. And you go back and you look at these posters for this movie where he just looks imposing and terrifying. And then you can't help but laugh to yourself. Like, I was looking forward to that guy. That guy's a clown. They might as well have brought in Fing Fang Foom, the dragon character.
Also, I remember that Marvel card.
Yeah. Well, he fought Iron Man too, and that would have been stupid. So with the Mandarin, I'm glad they took the route they did. They did great by it. I can't even think of another Iron Man villain I would want to see. And I will make a recommendation. There is an animated movie out now.
Netflix?
On Netflix. Ah, shit. What's it called?
By the way, on Netflix, watch a little bit of Arrested Development. It just came out. It's awesome.
Well, we're not here to talk about that, but I want to so fucking
Getaway, getaway.
Getaway. Hang on one sec. I got to look at what this is. It's an anime movie. It's done as a kind of anime style thing. It's called Rise of the Technovore. It's not that good.
Well,
but,
Technovore doesn't sound a good thing.
Good promotion.
But I will bring up that the reason I enjoyed it was he teams up with the Punisher at one point, who's voiced by Norman Reedus from Walking Dead.
Really?
You know, Daryl Dixon with his bow and arrow. And they just happen to have the great chase scene where Tony Stark and the Punisher are being chased by Black Widow and Hawkeye. And Hawkeye's firing arrows, and the Punisher catches an arrow and goes, kind of pussy uses arrows. And I can't help but feel like that's a Walking Dead reference.
That dude still reminds me of Boondock Saints, but all right. But, yeah, but
he's not a good Punisher voice. He's too high in the register. But it's the arrow comment that's worth it. And it's Iron Man. What do you want?
I mean, as far as Iron Man goes, I thought it was probably one of the better superhero movies I've ever seen, man.
I put
it
above the second, below the first.
That was a proper way to end a trilogy.
Yeah, if they don't make any, and I heard rumors that they might do a War Machine series.
Go for it. I like it.
Go for it, right?
Terrence Howard's stupid, by the way.
Terrence Howard's a moron.
Yes, I was thinking that before. I couldn't remember his name. That was the problem.
And I like Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle's good, too. Good.
I like him in the role of Rhodey. I like Terrence Howard.
What does that say about replaceable black guy?
I first saw the movie, when I saw Iron Man 1, and then they announced an Iron Man 2,
I was angry about it. I hate
that he wasn't
going to
be in it. Yeah. I went, oh, I really like their banter. I really like their chemistry.
But it's more Robert Downey's the thing, though. I mean,
it's all Robert Downey.
Don Cheadle has better banter.
Yeah, but it's Robert Downey promoting the banter, though. I mean,
I don't know.
I don't think
you can make these series without Robert Downey. You could make a series without Don Cheadle.
But Don Cheadle could carry a movie.
No, yeah. He could. No, actually, he couldn't.
He's awesome in Ocean's
11.
He
could carry a War Machine movie if you make it a War Machine
movie.
You can make Iron Man. I read a lot of comics, dude.
I do, too.
I can hand out a lot of books that people can...
I'm not saying that War Machine doesn't have a good thing, but if you go to see a War Machine movie... Like if there's not even a little bit of Robert Downey in it, it's going
to
be a big disappointment.
There will be a cameo in the last minute. And my bigger concern would be they'd probably throw him like a shit villain, like MODOK or something.
I had that Marvel Universe card. Please don't throw MODOK in any movies.
MODOK was the worst. Why did you put him in Marvel Capcom 3? Why would they do that?
Why don't you just throw Longshot and Mojo in the movie at that point? Like,
well, if X-Men Days of Future Past doesn't turn
Mojo,
out.
Mojo, is that like a giant fat thing?
Mojo,
he looks like Jabba the Hutt with dreadlocks.
Right? Yeah, I remember that.
Mojo's whole deal was that he ran like a television station on a different planet.
In the
Mojoverse.
Is that one of the TV shows? Like cartoons?
They covered it on the shows. I just want to see the Deadpool movie. Can we just stop fucking around and make the movie?
The video game looks like it's going to be good.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll springboard it.
True.
I mean, you got to catch up, man, Marvel, because... Deadpool's one of the most popular characters, and DC's gaining steam with Deathstroke, who's
Manu Bennett,
a duplicate of
a knockoff. I mean, well, Deadpool's a knockoff of Deathstroke, but they're moving forward. He's been on TV.
Well,
shows.
You guys both watched the Arrow series. I mean, you guys definitely give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's cool. It's really cool.
You gotta watch that shit too.
Yeah, Justin. When we're done here, I want to talk to you.
Well,
about
we're
that.
Basically done here. We're over an hour at this point. We've already gone through the whole movie. We've given the doors out. And this will be put up as soon as possible, even though we lost the first one.
So let's go through what's coming up after this. As far as summer spoilers, you have to look forward to...
The Great Gatsby, Star Trek
Into Darkness,
and Hangover 3.
Hangover 3.
And then after that, Superman and that movie with all
Man
the funny
of Steel,
guys.
And
the
Ender.
World's End?
World's End.
World's End, and what's the one with...
This is the End.
This is the End.
We got those two.
Those are our next four or five ones.
Can you imagine being on like a pub crawl and the world ending? That's the concept of the movie, right?
It's brilliant.
They're at
a party at James Franco's house.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the other one.
On a pub
crawl.
They're
on a pub crawl and there's just the world's ending.
And
there's aliens or some shit coming down. Like, that's awesome.
Now I'm looking forward to that one. Too,
awesome.
So that'll continue us through the middle of June, and then you'll hear us on the later podcast, and then you'll know what the deal is.
All right. So why don't we put a pin in this for tonight? This is our third podcast in a row, for the record. My voice is sore. I'm tired. It's almost 1 a.m. My name is Pete Berg. For Brian Katz, Justin Herman, close the door behind me.